Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're doing in our church and through our church, God. We thank you, Lord, that the projects that are happening here on this campus, on this mission base, Lord God, are not just for us, but God, they're for your glory and they're to expand your kingdom, God. They're to bring greater effect and influence into our community and into our culture, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us that perspective for what you're doing. Continue to build that in us, Lord. And so we turn to your word to have instruction on where you're really taking us and what this is all about, God. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been starting this year out responding to a word that the Lord has spoken over Evident Life Church. And that word is influence. Influence. During a recent Wednesday night prayer meeting, the Lord said that he's calling us to influence. God is calling Evident Life Church to be a church that's influencing our community and our culture. And we got to make sure everybody in the room understands that we're all called to influence. Every one of us that's breathing in this room, and I hope everybody's breathing, right? Amen? We're all breathing. We're all called to be influential and to be influencers in our community and in our culture. And he's placed each one of us exactly where we are. He placed Sydney exactly in that place in the airport. He places us exactly where he wants to place us for such a time as this to be influencers and influential in our culture, in our world today for God's glory. Today we're going to continue our study of influence as we examine the life of Daniel. The subtitle of this message is Discovering the Key to Influence. And so as you hang with me to the end of the message, which will be a little shorter than usual because we have some baptisms to do here, we're going to see what that key to influence is. But let's turn right now to Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. God's word says that in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and he besieged it. And the Lord delivered King Jehoiakim of Judah into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put it in the treasure house of his God. It's a little g. Verse 3 says, then the king ordered the chief of his court officials to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. And when I read that this week, I said, that sounds a lot like the young men here at Evident Life Church, right? Handsome. Well-equipped, capable, you know what I'm saying? I'm serious. We got some amazing young men in this church. Going on. So he was called then to teach these amazing young men, to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. Verse 5, it says, then the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Now among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. And to Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. Daniel. What can Daniel, what can his life teach us today about our call to influence right here and right now? Let's dive into lesson number one from Daniel. Lesson number one is this, that our citizenship determines our influence. Again, lesson number one, our citizenship determines our influence. Like Joseph, like Esther that we've already studied, Daniel, one of God's chosen people, also found himself in a foreign land, in a pagan land. He found himself in a culture that was against God. Why does this matter? I think it's amazing. It's very interesting that all three of the people that God has highlighted for us in discovering and walking into this call of influence, all three of them were foreigners. And it matters to us today because we too are foreigners in this land. I know I was born in America. I'm an American, red-blooded. Yeah. But now, in Christ Jesus, you're actually a foreigner in this land. We live in an anti-Christ, anti-God culture. We do. That's the culture that we live in today. And so, like Joseph, like Esther, and now like Daniel, we are foreigners in this land. The Apostle Peter reminds us of this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. And he makes this statement that we, the church, the people of God, followers of Jesus, that we are aliens and strangers. And there's a lot of strange Christians we meet too. I get it. But no, let's just go with a bigger picture. That we are aliens and we are strangers in the world. Jesus put it this way. He talked about it in the Gospel of John, chapter 17 and 18. One statement Jesus made is that we, the people of God, were in the world, but we're not of the world. Another statement Jesus made, he said that my kingdom is not of this world. God's kingdom is not the kingdom of this world. His kingdom is not of this world. And we who follow Christ, who are now children of God, we are now citizens of a different kingdom. God's kingdom, God's culture. And so Daniel, let's get back to Daniel. He found himself in another culture, in another kingdom, an anti-God culture. How did he respond to that? How did he live life in that environment? It says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it said, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. So Daniel chose to not allow Babylon, to not allow a godless culture to influence him. He determined to remain rooted in his true citizenship. Rooted and committed to his true identity that he was a child of God and this godless culture would not change that truth or this reality of whose kingdom, of what culture he really belonged to and identified with. Daniel would remain true to who he was no matter where he was. That's how Daniel dealt with being a foreigner in a godless environment, godless culture. He would remain true to who he was no matter where he was. The Apostle Paul reminds us this. He says in Philippians 3:20, he says that our citizenship is in heaven. As people of God in Christ Jesus now, our citizenship is in heaven. When we become born again, we no longer belong to this world. And that's a blessing. And I hope you all feel that way. You know, as we talk about citizenship and cultures and the culture of heaven versus this culture, that's one of the glorious realities that happens to us when we become born again in Christ, that we're transferred out of being citizens of this world, of being controlled by this world, of being slaves to whatever this world is going to do. And we become transported, if you will, into a new world, a new culture, a new reality, and our citizenship actually changes. That's a blessing from God. That means that we have a new identity, because we have a new citizenship. We have a new loyalty. Not a loyalty to please this world or to go along to get along any longer. We have a new loyalty, a new identity that is now in the Lord. We live now to please the Lord, not to please our culture. We live now to honor the Lord, not to honor political correctness or conventional wisdom or those types of things that are going on. We live now to come into complete agreement with God's values with His plans and with His ways and with His authority. It's a new world. It's a new day. Our citizenship has been changed. I found this story this week. It's an interesting fact, and I want to share it with y'all. See, before the colonists imposed national boundaries on Southeast Asia, the kings of Laos and Vietnam, they'd already reached an agreement about who was Laotian and who was Vietnamese. Here's what they did. Here's how they figured this all out, how they were going to determine which kingdom they were citizens of. Those who ate short grain rice, who built their houses on stilts, and who decorated their homes with Indian-style serpents were considered Laotians. And those who ate long grain rice, built their homes on the ground, and decorated their homes with Chinese-style dragons were Vietnamese. And so what happened is then the respective kings, they taxed the people accordingly. Hence, they had no need for boundaries. They didn't need boundaries. They knew which kingdom they belonged to and which king they would serve. It was simple. Each person belonged to the kingdom whose values they shared and whose king they honored. That determined which kingdom they were citizens of, whose values they shared and came into agreement with, their way of living, and whose king they honored. It wasn't about boundaries set up by man. Values and honor. Who would you follow? Who were you really given to? Daniel's story causes us to come face to face with these important questions. First one is this: whose kingdom do we identify with? Which kingdom are you identifying with right now? Kingdom of God or kingdom of this world? The next question is, will we influence Babylon? Will we influence our culture, or will it influence us? Another way to look at that question would be, will the culture of this world change you, or will you change it? And God has so transformed us and so filled us with His grace and His Spirit that now He boldly calls us now His people to change the culture that we're in. We aren't going to be changed by it. We're actually now change agents in this culture to bring God's culture and His kingdom to this world that we're in right now. And so lesson number one, our citizenship determines our influence. And let's dive right in then to lesson number two. Lesson number two is our devotion determines our influence. So our citizenship determines our influence, values, and who we're going to honor, who we're citizens of now, kingdom of heaven or kingdom of this world. And the second one is our devotion determines our influence. As a young boy in a strange land, Daniel, he immediately was faced with a challenge to violate God's law by eating the king's food. It was something that his culture, his values that he was in agreement with God, prohibited for him from doing, eating that type of food. But even Daniel, this young whippersnapper, man, he wasn't going to allow these pressures to conform him. He wasn't going to allow that to happen. Daniel, it says, purposed in his heart. Other versions say that he purposed in his heart to uphold the law of God no matter the cost. And because of his willingness to put God first, God granted Daniel favor in the sight of others. It says that in Daniel 1:9. God gave Daniel influence in a foreign godless society because he determined in his heart to remain devoted to God. He knew where his citizenship was. He knew his identity. He knew who he was, his values, and who he would honor. And he was devoted to God at all costs. And because of that devotion, the Lord was able to entrust him with great influence. Great influence. Jesus taught the same principle. Let's go back to the red letters. Jesus, same principle, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. He said, but seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, His ways. Seek first God's ways, His values. Seek first God and His kingdom and His righteousness and all these other things. The other things of life will all work out. You'll be given those things as well. The other stuff we need, we'll receive. The influence that we're called to have in our culture, in our community, will come as a result of our devotion to God, of putting Him first and remaining devoted to Him at all times, no matter the situation, no matter the cost. That's just God's way of operating. And He moves powerfully through people who come into agreement with this way of living. Powerfully. How did Daniel live it out? Daniel chapter 6. We're going to look at two verses, verse 7 and verse 10 in Daniel chapter 6. How did Daniel live out this reality, this precept that comes straight from the throne room of God? It says in verse 7 that the royal administrators, the prefects, the satraps, the advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. So there's the culture of the world, the godless culture, saying that people can't follow God. They can't remain devoted to God. Okay. Verse 10, it says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Giving thanks to God. Just as he had done before. Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Mark 12, verse 17. There are things we're called to give to government. We're called to give to Caesar. We're called to give them taxes. We're called to give them honor. We're called to give them respect. That's talked about in Romans. However, we are never to give government. We're never to give our culture even. We're never to give away that which we must only give to God. That's our devotion. That's our heart. Daniel understood this. He lived it out. His devotion to God was not going to be compromised. He wouldn't allow this world to keep him from bowing his knee to the Lord. Any word, any authority contrary to God's authority, any law that's contrary to God's law, any justice that's out of alignment with God's justice, any social norm or practice that violates the practices that God has called us to as His children, they all become null and void. If they're outside of alignment with God, if they're out of alignment with God, those things become null and void in the life of a believer, in one who is devoted to God, because there are some things that we will not give to anybody but to God. And we need to remain devoted in that as the people of God. Because that kind of commitment to devotion to God releases us into all that God has for us and into all that He's called us to be as influencers in our community and in our culture. Because Daniel's devotion was to God, God made his influence great. And this leads us into the third and final lesson from the life of Daniel. First, we have that our citizenship determines our influence. Second lesson is our devotion determines our influence. And lesson number three is our prayer life determines our influence. Just notice what we just were talking about with Daniel. Daniel was committed to the place of prayer. The foreign, godless, pagan culture says, you're not allowed to pray to God. Daniel said, I have to. You can't go to the place of prayer. How can I not go to the place of prayer? I have to go to the place of prayer. I'm devoted to the Lord. I must be there. Daniel was committed to the place of prayer. His commitment to spending intentional. Notice how intentional it was. Three times a day, turning toward Jerusalem even. Intentional and purposefully going to the place of prayer. It was non-negotiable to this man of influence that would be used in great and mighty ways to bring God glory in a pagan nation devoted to the place of prayer. This time with the Lord released supernatural, God-sized anointing on his life. His devotion to the place of prayer released mega influence through this man, this foreigner. Huge influence over the entire nation. His influence spanned the reigns of many kings. Some say it was three kings, others say it was four. But the reality is many kings, many kingdoms, that he had huge supernatural influence in, over, and around this man who was determined to remain faithful to the place of prayer. He got down on his knees. He got down on his knees. So another question, as we're just processing what God's calling us to as his children, as his people, to be influences in our community, in our culture. Are we positioning ourselves for influence, or are we allowing this culture to influence us? We want to be influential. We want to be used by God. Are we positioning ourselves for that? We talked about it earlier this month. Are we setting our sails? Are we setting the sails to receive the blowing wind of the Spirit to move us where he wants to move us? Are we positioning ourselves? Well, we can look at our daily planners, can't we, at our calendars, and really determine how we're positioning ourselves, whether we are or whether we aren't. Are we spending intentional and purposeful time in the place of prayer? Are we? Influential people influencing a culture for the glory of God, they do. They're intentional, purposeful about positioning themselves in and through that place of prayer. Are we doing that, or are we allowing a godless culture to keep us busy with everything but prayer? And I know it's hard. I fight it. I'm a pastor. And I fight it. I have to fight to protect that time with God in prayer. I have to have it on my schedule, marked out in my calendar and work meetings and responsibilities and writing and preaching and praying and, you know, capital stuff and this stuff and that stuff. I got to work it around that place. And if something has to fit that, I move my time. I don't get rid of it. I can't just ignore it. I can't go, well, something else big came up. It's a one-time thing. I can miss my time in that place of prayer, right? I can't do that. I can't do that because, frankly, I'm lost without that. I'm lost without the presence of God. It's where I receive from the Lord. It's where I get filled from God. And I'm convinced, I know by experience, I'm 49 years old. I know by experience that without that time in prayer, intentional in the presence of God, I am very weak. I'm very uninfluential. And I don't have anything to give anybody else. I just don't. I got nothing. Just me, Eric. And you don't want what I have to give you. You don't want what I have to serve up. You don't want that. You don't. And what this world needs, what our community needs, what our culture needs is a church that's given them God. That's given him the thus saith the word of the Lord, the fresh manna, that cup of cool spiritual water that's fresh out of the pipe. You know what I'm saying? Fresh. That's what our community needs. That's what our culture needs. And that comes only through those who have that fresh time with God that's purposeful, intentional. And it's so awesome. It's not a burden. I leave my time with God so encouraged, so filled with life. And I know you do too. Let me make sure that y'all understand this. I'm preaching to the choir. I get it. I'm blessed to pastor a church of people who are like Daniel, who pray, who seek the heart, the face of God. It's a blessing. So I'm preaching the choir, but we all need to be encouraged to keep going, to keep pressing in, to be those people that God is using for influence. I've heard it said that the most powerful position, the most influential position on earth is kneeling before the Lord of the universe. So true, isn't it? most powerful place that we can be is kneeling, that place of prayer, receiving from God. We're going to move into a time of baptism here, and we had some other things. I had a longer message, and we had some other things that we wanted to incorporate, but frankly, worship was amazing, and our time in the presence of God was so powerful, we don't want to cut that short. So this is what I want to encourage you to do. You've heard what God is saying through his word, through Joseph, Esther, and now Daniel, about how to be those people of influence for the Lord. I want you to go back and I want you to study it again. I want you to go through it again. I want you to connect with what God is saying. And I want to encourage you to do it from the place of prayer, seeking his face. We have corporate prayer gatherings also, which are amazing places for you to come together with brothers and sisters in the Lord and pray. We're just in the process of looking to even start a prayer walker group that's going to prayer walk the whole downtown Heritage District area, up and down Gilbert Road, right up and down in front of our church and all the way down to Elliott and Juniper right here. Just prayer walking, speaking the name of the Lord in our community and seeing what the Spirit is saying about how to be influential in the Spirit right here in this region. God will direct us into some amazing things. So I want to encourage you in all of these things that God is saying about being influenced. Go for it. Don't just, hear what God is saying, go, wow, that's amazing, that's awesome, but I'm busy, and then we get pulled right back into the same old, same old. Let's go for it. Let's step out. Let's break down some walls. Let's expand our own lives and see what God wants to do. Let's allow his anointing to come in greater and greater measure on us. And all of this is a result of time with him, of that realizing our citizenship is in him now and forever, that our devotion is firmly planted in Christ alone, and that the key to influence is being filled with God that comes through that place of prayer. Amen. Amen. Amen.